I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do, and to fall in short of living in your love. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the my soul. I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have placed myself above and have hurt the ones I love, and I know that only you set me free. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave. For my soul, take us back to the water, wash away our sins. Welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. Bless your sons and your daughters, and let the feast begin. Let it begin.
Mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit.
You take us back to the water, you wash away our sins, you welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and your daughters, now let
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Lord,
let's pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. The congregation, please read the bold print. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. A reading from Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was a thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for you, for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I wanted to say thank you all for having us out here. I am Chaplain Ben. I'm the lesser half of the chaplain at WVU at our Lutheran Campus Ministry. This is the better half of the chaplaincy. This is my wife, Courtney, and you see our two kids, Charlie, he's up here, and then Alice is back there with the other gaggle of children. So we're just glad to be here. One of the things I was amazed about last night was I knew we were in Columbus. I mean, that's where we're staying. And so I thought, oh my gosh, there's like 4+ lanes of traffic. Like, this is nuts. And so coming there, and then we came to this church, and I was expecting a suburb, something like that. You hit the country roads, and I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly where I need to be after 4-lane highways, you know. So we really appreciate y'all having us out. It's really wonderful being in Ohio and just seeing what's going on here, seeing what the Lutheran faith, what the kingdom of God looks like right here. Where you guys are. So I wanted to start off to ask, is anyone doing Lenten disciplines this Lent? And you don't have to share, but if you raise your hand. Hey, some, a little bit. So when I was a kid, I was thinking about this, like when Lent came about, I always thought, okay, what is something that I can achieve? Like what is it that I can do over these 40 days? Because if it were a year, you know, some of this stuff would be out of the question. You know, I'm not giving up chocolate or soda for a year. That ain't going to happen. But, you know, 40 days, that's doable. So when I was a kid, I can remember I'd always say, okay, I can do chocolate 40 days. That's not a big deal. And then I thought, well, you know, I want to be a little bit more faithful. Let me try to see if I can give up soda for 40 days. And that was a little more difficult, but, you know, I could do it. I could achieve it. I could be done with it. And so that's how I used to function when I was younger, and as I've gotten older, I've realized that my theology around Lent has not changed all too much. It's still, what can I deny myself this Lent that's going to be hard enough, but not too hard, to allow me to know that, you know, I'm still faithful to God, and, you know, I'm not of this world, right? You know, all of those things, but what can I accomplish? You know, what can I actually do within these 40 days? And what I realized within all this is that this is not at all what Lent is supposed to be about. You know, I should have changed as I've gotten older. And so Courtney and I have been at the campus ministry, the Lutheran campus ministry at WVU for about 3 years. And so we got there right post-pandemic stuff, if you can remember. So it was a wild time. Pandemic, like with the church, it just decimated the campus ministry. There was nothing there. And so when Courtney and I came in, we thought, oh no, what should we expect coming into this brand new campus ministry? You know, the first mass of the semester, I thought, well, I wonder what this will be like. Should we expect a whole mess of Lutherans? Should we expect nobody? And we came back and we expected nobody to be there. You know, we just thought, they haven't had a campus ministry for years now. We're coming off pandemic. There's not going to be a soul in there except for me, Courtney, the kids, and the organist, which would have been fine, but a little sad, right? We get into Mass, our very first one, and the sanctuary had students in it. Students that we had never met before, students that we had no relationship with, and they showed up. And that was the kind of beginning to me to understand God is faithful. Whether or not you do the right things or you do enough evangelism, God continues to be faithful. And so we got in there and we had all these students. And again, I assumed, oh, you're all going to be Lutheran. This is Lutheran campus ministry, you know. And when we started to talk to the students, some of the students were Lutherans, but there was a whole mess of Roman Catholics. There's a lot of Baptists. There was a lot of non-denominational. We had it from everywhere. And then the biggest thing that we had was actually a big group of students that were self-proclaimed atheists. And so these atheists would come and they'd hang out in the basement. So we have upstairs, we have our chapel, our sanctuary, and downstairs we kind of have a hangout with a kitchen. And they would always hang out there while we worshiped. And so I thought, you know, this is kind of weird that atheists are hanging out at church, but, you know, we'll let them stay here. It's better than being at a bar or something, I guess. And so they would hang out there, and they'd join us for dinner after Mass. And then after the second year, they started to come to a few more worship things. And this year, we have a group of self-proclaimed atheists coming up to worship with us in the sanctuary. And so whenever we were there, it was a very different experience with preaching. So we got into Lent our first year, and I get up there, and I'm still in parish mode. Like, you know, I've been doing this for a while. And I got up and I said, all right, y'all, you know what Lent is. And I just got, like, people were just like, you know, deer in headlights kind of look. And I was like, oh, these guys don't know a thing about what Lent is. This is probably new to them. And so I had to scrap my whole sermon and we just did this thing on Lent. And I talked to him. I said, you know, it's about denying yourself. It's about penance. It's about all the different spiritual disciplines. And what I realized is that these students were in a very different spot than where I was. These students had already given up a lot of the things that we are supposed to give up. You know, these students had given up the trauma that they had experienced through their individual churches, whatever that might be. You know, you need to live better. You need to live differently. You're not faithful enough. They let go of that trauma. They said, we don't want anything to do with that. They've seen what the church has done in the world, and they said, we don't want any of that. And finally, I said, why are you guys here then? Why are you in this church? And they said, you don't tell us that we're going to hell, like a lot of these pastors that come on campus. You're not ones that say you're wrong and you need to change. They said, all you guys want to do is worship God the best way that we possibly can. And so that's why we're here. And that's what made me realize what Lent truly is about. Just like the Lenten season, just like the confession and forgiveness, which was beautiful, by the way, the confession and forgiveness. It's not to say how bad you are. It's not to say, oh, I'm such a sinful person, look how terrible I am. Lent isn't about I can deny myself so much so that I can show how faithful I am to myself or others. But it's to show forth how great God's love is. That we can sin constantly. That we can deny ourselves and still sin and still fall short of the glory of God. And God still loves us. God loves us so much that he comes down and he goes straight to the cross for you. That's what Lent is about. Lent is not about us looking bad at ourselves. So one of the things that we talk about with our students is that in church, why we're in church is we're reminded. When we come to church, we're reminded of who God is. Again, a loving God that loves unconditionally. Because as soon as our students walk out these doors, we're going to be entering the world. And what the world says is the law, which is, if you are faithful enough, things would be a little bit better. You know, if you could just live a little bit, you know, better, a little bit more faithfully, then you know, your life would be good, your family would be good. You know, if you just live differently, you know, there wouldn't be so many problems. If you're able to just pick yourself up and do good for yourself, this world would be a better place. And yet what we see is brokenness, we see failure, and we experience that as well. And so when we come to church, we're reminded that you have been claimed by God in baptism. In baptism, God reached down and said, you are mine no matter what, and there's no power or principality in this world that will be able to take you from me. God reminds you in here that he loves you unconditionally, with no condition. That means there's no way we can receive less or more of God's love. God loves you unconditionally. And he meets us here at the table. Jesus meets us in body and blood because he knows, the Creator knows, that this world is going to be difficult. The Creator knows that there's suffering, that there's sin, that there's brokenness, that there's hurt in our world. And Jesus says, I'm going to pick you guys up. I'm going to give you the strength and the faith to go out. Because the other aspect of this is that you are called. You're not called just to be a good Christian. You're not called just to go to church. You are called to bring the kingdom of God here right now. You are called as Jesus' disciples to bring the kingdom of God in this community, at your church, at your work, and especially within your family. You are claimed, you are loved, and you are called to something great. Remember as we leave here, as we go out in our week, no matter if you are doing spiritual disciplines or not, whether you're doing well at your spiritual disciplines or you seem to be failing, you've had your chocolate, right? God's got us, always and forever. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. God of the covenant, through the church you draw us into community. We give thanks for the means of grace around which we gather. Inspire writers, musicians, and artists whose creative gifts adorn our worship. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem. For Courtney and Ben, our presiding minister and preacher today, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. God of all that exists, you lavish the earth with extravagant beauty. Preserve the rich and complex diversity of living things. Support local, national, and international efforts to protect the environment for future generations. Hear us, O God. God of the nations, you desire peace and plenty for all people. Defend those who challenge oppression and expose corruption. Support advocates for human rights, social justice, and the welfare of children. Hear us, O God. God of goodwill, you restore what is broken. We pray for any experiencing estrangement, conflict, or abuse in families and intimate relationships. Protect and comfort all who are vulnerable, especially those living in institutions. Hear us, O God. God of every time and place, you are with us. Support ministries of prayer and presence in this congregation. Move us to reach out to any who are homebound, lonely, grieving, in treatment, or ill, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott and Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Mackenzie and newborn Kira, Chip, Theodore and family, Julie, Owen, Bill, Jim, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. God of promise, we give thanks for the saints whose faith inspires us, especially Patrick, missionary to Ireland, whom we commemorate today. Grant us faith to trust in your everlasting love. Hear us, O God.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share a sign of that peace.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You are holy, you are whole, you are always evermore than we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming here to your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead. You are holy.
God of the universe, your mercy is everlasting and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God. Blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This time, I'd like to call for anyone who's helping with the distribution of the sacrament, those participating in children's church. Distribution of sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. Ushers will be forward with trays of glass cups. Take a glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth
Oh,
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in God's grace. Amen.
Invite the choir to come forward. Pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. First, I want to thank Chaplains Ben and Courtney for being here with us, coming from the University of West Virginia. They are also the cause of the month for March with the Ohio State University Campus Ministry, Jacob's Porch. So just remember that shameless plug on behalf of them. They heard that we were supporting them this year, and they wanted to make sure they came out and visited us, and I'm grateful for this partnership. In my last year of seminary was Courtney's first year of seminary at Gettysburg, so that's how we got to know each other through that. Also, following worship, there's going to be some refreshments. We have a farewell and Godspeed, what we're going to do in a moment, for Paul and Dee Myers, Pastor Paul and Dee Myers. If you don't know, Pastor Paul got a call to serve at St. Lucas in Toledo, Ohio. And now I just want to warn Paul Culler. We've done farewell and Godspeeds for two Pauls, 2 weeks in a row. So you're not moving within the next week, are you? Okay, so. Okay, good. So we have some refreshments afterwards. You can certainly give your well wishes to the Myers, and you can hobnob with our campus chaplains from West Virginia. At this time, I'd like to call the Pastor Paul and Dee Myers forward. The Lord be with you. Paul and Dee, as you leave our community of faith here at St. John, we wish to bid you farewell. A reading from John. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. When you came to this community of faith, we rejoice to welcome you in the mission we share as the people of God. In this community, you have come to know and share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. God has blessed you in this community, and God has blessed us through you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the work and witness of your servants, Paul and Dee, who have enriched this community of faith and shared their gifts with us. Now bless and preserve them at this time of transition. Day by day, guide them and give them what is needed. Friends to cheer their way and a clear vision of that to which you are now calling them. By your Holy Spirit, be present in their pilgrimage, that they may travel with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. We encourage you to continue to receive and share God's gifts in Toledo at St. Lucas, united with us in the body of Christ and in the mission we share. Almighty God, bless us and direct us, our days and our deeds in peace. Amen. Let us give thanks for Paul and Dee. I'll be gentle. I invite the congregation to please rise. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
Into a world to witness to the ways that God is drawing all things and all people towards God's self in surprising and ordinary ways. May Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.